Welcome to a very special drive time this evening. I'm Greg Frizzell, the general manager and owner of the Mount Washington Radio Group, 93.5 WMWV-FM, Magic 104.5 and 98.1 FM, and Easy 95.3 FM. And I'm here with Gino Devaney today for our drive time. How are you doing, Gino?
Pretty good. Happy to be back.
Awesome. And if people want to email us or text us or even call us with questions, how can they do that?
Yes, that number is 603-356-9145. Again, 603, of course, and it's 356-9145. You can text us at any time now or with any questions. We're going to be talking to Superintendent Kevin Richard of SAU9. You can also email us, office@wmwv.com. It's the reason we're doing the show. We want to answer the questions that you guys have. We're doing the show for you. It's a community service, so make sure that you participate. One more time, 356-9145.
And we do have a lot of questions lined up. I'd like to take a second to thank our sponsors, the law offices of Cooper Cargill Chant, Leonie McDonald and Roberts, Certified Public Accountants, and Settlers Green and Settlers Crossing. Now I'd like to bring in our very special guest tonight, SAU9 Superintendent Kevin Richard. How are we doing, Kevin?
Great, Greg. Nice to talk to you folks.
Thank you for being here with us and on drive time and get some questions answered. I know a lot of people are wondering a lot of times about what's going on right now with the school district, so this is fantastic. So let's start off with talking about, maybe right from the beginning, you know, what is remote learning and what does it look like at the elementary, middle, and high school levels as we came into this situation? What are we looking at right now?
Well, Greg, everything kind of has changed, and it will continue to change, but, you know, the governor made the decision on March 15th that we were going to go to what's called remote instruction, and essentially that's the delivery of education outside the walls of our school facilities. And what does that look like? Well, it means that we use a variety of different type of techniques, including providing some hard copies of materials for some of our younger students and some of the folks that do not have Wi-Fi or online accessibility. It also means that we rely pretty heavily on a lot of the online platforms. We use what's called Google Classroom, where teachers post their assignments every day. We also use video conferencing at a grade level. We try to keep the consistency and the structure as much as possible for our students. The day starts with students at the elementary school maybe going to a morning meeting online, and it was cute. I did get a chance to sit in on a few of those virtually or through my office, and the kids get to greet each other and kind of talk about what's going on. And then they'll go into different lessons with the teachers and the support staff. And then middle school, in the high school, it's more like their regular class day, where they will see each of their teachers on a daily basis. And they will check in, get their assignments. They will set up appointments with their teachers to get some feedback, either on the phone or through email. And then that was really the first couple weeks was set up to make the connections back with the students and then start to get engaged in those instructional units. Along with that, we also have the other pieces that really became a huge undertaking. That includes delivery of meals for students. So we had to get out about 700 breakfasts and 700 lunches to students every day. So we coordinated with the family liaisons and the bus drivers to deliver on their bus routes and work with the food service folks. And really, it was a huge undertaking just to get, again, 1,500 Chromebooks and devices out. They all had to be configured. Parents came and had to have a well-coordinated pickup day. So that's really the biggest piece to start off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can imagine that was just a colossal task, especially because it happened so quickly.
Oh, yeah. You had to, like I said, you know, when I was meeting with the administrative team, you know, on March 14th. We had started to talk a little bit about this in February in meetings with the nurses and the principals, and then all of a sudden it kept going faster and faster from going to the state finals in you know, hockey and in basketball tournaments to, oh man, field trips are canceled to school is now canceled. And then the coordination, thank goodness the governor and the commissioner of education said, you have 5 days to really put plans in place. And as I said, the huge undertaking to get all those devices and technology ready and get accounts set up and make it all happen. But the staff worked a huge amount of hours in order to make that happen.
What would you say was the hardest part to implement the remote learning process?
Oh, I think the sense of urgency, the pressure to get things done in a certain amount of time. We had, essentially 5 days to get everything coordinated to go live on the following Monday. And there was really no going back at that point. And, again, trying to make sure that we did it well. And, mm-hmm. There are a lot of shortcuts and easy ways to do things, but tremendous amount of coordination in it. And, unfortunately, I was getting new information all the time, which then I had to relay to the staff members and then to the parents and say, okay, this is where we are today at noontime, and then maybe even at 4 o'clock things had changed a little bit more preceding that. But once we moved to the remote instruction, it's been more or less the tweaks to the schedule in some of those pieces.
Yeah, and how would you say the transition's gone so far overall?
I'm extremely proud of where it's at. At the end of the first week, we did a survey of the students, the parents, and the staff members. And overall, the favorability was very, very strong. We were concerned about a couple different things, one being the amount of work, and we were shooting for, two hours at the younger ages, 2 to 4 and 4 to 6 for the older kids. And it came back very strong that it was the right amount of work and the right challenge from the students and the parents, so we were happy with that. And then the number of hours that, the working hours were really good. And I tell you, the high school kids really liked starting classes at 8 or 8:30 in the morning instead of getting on the bus at 6 o'clock in the morning. That was one of their big takeaways.
Yeah, I can imagine. What were some of the other student responses that you've heard about remote learning?
I think trying to get access to the teachers, it's a little bit different now. If you're in a classroom and you need a teacher's attention, you can raise your hand or even come back during a different time. And I think it was difficult for both the teachers and the students to kind of figure out where those boundaries are, what's the most effective way of communicating back and forth and getting feedback. So that has kind of been the dance. And then the students really miss the social atmosphere of being in a school. They miss the sports, the athletics, the lunchtime pieces, the clubs and organizations, the band. So they really miss all those other pieces as much as the struggles that they have,
Yeah, I would imagine that's one of the most difficult things for sure. You don't have that close-knit camaraderie right near you all the time.
Right.
So how's the staff doing with everything with remote learning?
Oh, I think there was an initial excitement of getting started in coming back and seeing the students. And I think that for some people, they had they'd been used to delivering education in a certain way, and this is a totally new and different way of doing that. So there's a learning curve that people have to get used to. And also, I think, again, teachers are parents too, so you had some issues that, acknowledge that I'm trying to manage my own, just like the parents in the community are having. I'm trying to work my job and take care of my family and added a lot of stress, I think, during that second week. So we're trying to look at different ways to protect. You know, we've heard stories of teachers getting called at 7 o'clock at night by parents saying, "Hey, can you read my kid a book before going to bed?"
Oh, geez.
Of course, the teachers will do those type of things, and they have to be careful not to respond at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night to these requests. And really, they're good-hearted people, and they want to do the right thing, but they need to protect themselves from that as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, what are the plans for April vacation at this point? Why don't we start there?
Sure, that's a great question. So right now, what we're looking at is continuing to have that April vacation and providing the students with some downtime. We're also concerned a little bit about the amount of screen time that they do have.
Mm-hmm.
And letting them just kind of be kids on vacation, whether they are out in their own yards or connecting with some other fun place. But we're looking at providing the staff, the teaching staff, a few days for, I'm anticipating that remote instruction will continue beyond May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we want to make sure it's a quality educational experience for the students. And in order for that to take place, teachers will need time to do that there. So we're looking at providing a couple days worth of work for the teachers in the district. And what we do is shorten the student year a little bit. Teachers still would work the number of contracted days, but those would be a little bit of a learning curve for our staff members. So they'll more than likely be working during April vacation. The students will have some time off. There will be some check-ins. That's what we're working on right now. And then we'll move through the rest of the year.